All right, we're going to continue our lesson in the tabernacle of the Old Testament, this wonderful structure that God has given to us to view and to examine and to study, that we might understand the shadows of things that pointed to the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, in previous lessons, we have erected the walls of the tabernacle structure, which consisted of 48 tall and upright chittim wood boards covered with gold, and four columns supported by 100 silver sockets. Now remember that those sockets that were the foundation of those upright boards, those boards were 27 inches wide if you count the cubit as 18 inches. And they were 15 feet high. And underneath each one of those boards, there was a foundation which the scriptures call a socket. And it was a part of a mortise and tenon connection. And those sockets were made from the 603,550 half shekels of silver collected from each male Israelite 20 years old and above. Now think about that. You know, we read that quickly and casually and say that's the way it was. But try to collect a half shekel from 603,550 Jewish men. Now talk about a logistics problem. Now if I said, okay, we have, I don't know, 40 people here, and next Sunday I want you to bring in a half dollar. Well, first of all, you'd say, well, where am I going to get a half dollar? They're not very common anymore, but they're available. I'm giving you a little bit of a problem here, so you don't just reach in your pocket and put a quarter on the table. But if I gave you that assignment, the 40, just 40 people, next week come up with a half dollar. Well, now some of you would. Some of you would forget. Some of you would say, oh, it's too hard. I don't know. Some of you would say, I just can't afford it. I don't have a half dollar. My allowance didn't come in. My ship didn't come in. And I would have to come in next week and say, okay, I got 35 half dollars here. Where are the other five? You know, but look at this problem that was solved by the Jewish people in the wilderness, where Moses was able to get 603,550 half shekels from the Jewish men 20 and above. That's marvelous. That's a miracle. You think about that. That's a miracle in logistics, but it was done. Now, those shekels were melted down and made into these sockets. They indicated the price of deliverance from Egypt, and they give us a lesson for what takes place with Christ. There's a price to pay for your deliverance. And that price we talked about last week was the precious blood of Christ. Now today we will begin a series where we will look at the roof of this board structure. Just remember now, you see 48 boards vertically placed in sockets, and there's no covering or no roof on the structure. But God did not intend for his tabernacle to be open to the sky but he intended it to have coverings, coverings which, of course, are carefully defined to continue his redemption story. You know, coverings. Talks about in the New Testament that there are coverings for your sin. You know, I don't want my sin to be uncovered. And Jesus said, I'm going to cover it with my blood. But this is what God starts this process out in, where he tells us of coverings of this structure, where he continues his redemption story that he clearly presents in the tabernacle and its furnishings. Now, as an engineer, I was at times involved in the design of roofs for government buildings. You say, well, what's to design? Well, there's a lot to design. Roofs are so important. And I think that you'll agree that if your roof at home leaks anywhere, at any time, you are absolutely motivated. Now, if you're not motivated, your wife will be motivated. She will get the prod out if you're prone to prods. Now, some men are prone to prods. Some men just go ahead and do it. But someone's going to be absolutely motivated to make every effort to repair or replace that roof. No one likes a drip on the kitchen table or on the carpet. It just says anathema to you. And you're also motivated, in spite of the statistics that say it does not leak most of the time, for most of the time it isn't raining. You know, I mean, the man that needs to be prodded would come up with that excuse. Well, it's not leaking today. Well, of course it's not leaking today. It's not raining. Well, it's not raining most of the time. So what's the big deal? But that excuse just does not go over. Now, most of the old roofs on flat-roofed buildings were of a four-ply construction. You had a layer of paper, a tar paper, and you tarred it down to the subsurface in this direction. And then you had another layer going in this direction. You tarred that down. Another layer going this direction. Another layer going that direction. That's a four-ply roof. And then on top of that, a lot of times they would put ballast. Now, the ballast was simply gravel to hold the roof down. If a big wind came over, the stones would hold the roof down. And it would also keep the ultraviolet rays off of the tar paper. So it was a very good roof if it was put on right. Lasts for 30, 35 years. If it wasn't put on right, it would last a few years and it would start leaking. You don't want a roof to last only a few years. You can only put up so much with mate motivation. But you know, our roof in this auditorium is but one ply. It's a ply of PVC, which is a much better material, much more durable material, and then that's glued to a foam insulation, which is attached to the sub roof. Very important to have good roofs. We're so thankful. You know, we went through hurricanes. Oh, we wrung our hands. Oh, what's going to do? Well, after that, we had good roofs. You know, to every hurricane, there's a silver lining, if I can mix metaphors. But thank the Lord for good roofs. Don't you like, You know, when we're in here and all of a sudden you hear all the rain on the roof, not a leak in the auditorium. When that happens, I always praise God. Because we have had leaks in the auditorium before, but we're so blessed with good roofs. But our God chose to do the roof of the tabernacle in a four-ply fashion. We didn't think of anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. The tabernacle had a four-ply roof. But his choice of materials was a unique choice, not made totally for waterproofing, but made to teach spiritual truths. Now, you can't go ahead and call up a roofer and say, I want a badger skin roof. What? Okay. How about a ram skin roof? What are you, crazy? Well, maybe a linen roof. He would hang up. But this is what God specified. Moses got the specifications and he was rifling through the specifications. Badger skins and ram skins and goat's hair and linen, four-ply roof. But God chose to use these materials to teach spiritual truths. You know, if you read the Bible in that fashion, what are the spiritual truths here? There's a lot of physical things in the Bible. Don't just assume that that's all there is to them, but look for spiritual truths in everything in the Bible. That's what we're here for, spiritual truths. You know, one of these days we're going to shed this body. We're going to get a new body. Now, most times, the roof curtains and coverings are pictured as being draped over the board structure. But I've read of some who think that the linen, the inward linen curtain, was so hung as to not only be a ceiling, but also to hang inside the holy places as wall coverings. That's an interesting thought. Now, we do not know this for sure. There's nothing in the scriptures that tell us of this for sure. But it's interesting that the linen curtains were made so as to include cherubims of cunning work. The Bible uses those two words. Cherubims were woven into the linen by cunning work within the linen. Now, if you ever watch the fingers of a knitter, or the fingers of a crocheter, or the fingers of a tatter, a tatting is nice. What is it? What's tatting?
Crocheting?
No, tatting is a finer crocheting. But anyway, if you watch the fingers, they're cunning. My mother tatted, but they're cunning fingers. They're workmanlike fingers. They're craftswoman fingers or craftsman fingers. That's what God required here. Cunning work is craftsmen and craftswomen work. And it's unfortunate, folks, that this kind of work is disappearing from our society. The cunning work now is twittering. I'm so good at twittering, I can walk down the road without seeing God's creation and just see man's. I mean, listen, Satan is so subtle. Satan creeps in. He's always been a creeper. Satan doesn't come in and pounds you on the head with his evil. He creeps in. And technology is taking away the gifts that God has given to us. And it's so easy. All of us fall into this. You know, we all fall into this. But if you do cunning work, if you do craftsman work, keep it up. If you don't do it, try to do it. Try to get something where your hands can make things. You can do it in the kitchen. The kitchen cunning work is disappearing too. You know, go down to the grocery store and get somebody else's cunning work. Bring it home and slap it down. See? There's a move upon the part of Satan to move us into less than we are. So God desired cunning work. He likes cunning work. The details for the curtains and the coverings for the tabernacle were laid out in the following order. We've talked about a 4-ply roof, and this is the order that God gave to Moses in the scripture. Now, the first layer from the inside of the tabernacle were curtains of fine twined linen. You know, it's just hard to imagine the abilities that these folks that came out of Egypt had. It's hard to imagine the devices that they brought with them. I mean, where did they get this fine twine linen? Oh, they went down to Walmart. No. Somebody was sent to China. No. They were in the desert. They made this fine twine linen. Now, linen is made from flax. It's amazing also when you see the raw materials of things. You say, well, how did somebody see that and say, I think I'll make some linen from this weed that's growing up? Well, God gave minds to think. They beat the flax. They took the fibers from flax. They made the threads for the linen. And here they are, several million people coming out of Egypt with their trades, with their cunning work, with their craftsmanship. They not only made bricks in Egypt, but they supported the brick makers with other businesses around, don't you see? So they had all this with them, and they were able to use these talents to comply with God's command. There's wisdom there, isn't it? God gave you talents to comply with his commands. So the first layer from the inside of the tabernacle were curtains of fine twined linen, and they're described in Exodus 26, 1 through 6, with additional information in Exodus 36, 8 and 9. We'll be reading some of this later. Now, this fine twined linen is the layer that you would see on the ceiling. Remember we said that the boards were 3 feet higher than this ceiling, about 15 feet up. And if you looked up, you'd see this fine twined linen. And like I said, some commentators said that it was hung on the interior of the walls. If it wasn't, then it was draped over. So that's the layer that you would see in this glorious holy place, or the most holy place. Now, the second layer consisted of curtains of goat's hair. So they were able to take the goat's hair and make a thread from goat's hair. Anybody ever see that process? I don't know how that works. First of all, you got to get a goat that lets you do that. That's not easy. You know, they're kind of stubborn, I think. But the second layer was made of goat's hair and is defined by God to Moses. It was given to Moses in Exodus 26, 7 through 13, the next passage, and additional information in Exodus 36. Now, this curtain, which was referred to as the tent, was placed over the curtains of fine linen. So if the linen was on the interior, then goat's hair and the dimensions of this is given later. The goat's hair draped over the linens and came down the walls, the board walls. Now the third layer consisted of what was called a covering. We're moving in from curtains to coverings here. There's a kind of a fine definition here. The third layer consisted of what is called a covering of ram's skins dyed red. Not just any old ram skins, but they were dyed red. Oh, and you see the color red. We have it all over the place here. Scarlet. There's a reason why we have this color in here. But this was ram's skin dyed red, and it's defined by God to Moses in further verses in Exodus 26 and 36. And the fourth layer, or the fourth ply, was a covering of badger skins defined by God to Moses in the same passages. Now, this was the final covering and was that which was seen to all who were outside the tabernacle. Badger skins, rough skins. Now, you'll note from the scriptures that the first two layers, the fine twine linen and the goat's hair, were called curtains. But the ram skins and the badger skins were called coverings. Now, you go to your own home and you have curtains, and what else do you have? Drapes. Now, you don't call a drape a curtain, nor do you call a curtain a, well, I guess you could call a curtain a drape because it might move like a drape. But drapes generally are thought of as heavier, are they not? And curtains are generally thought of as lighter. So that's the reason why it seems like the scriptures use those terms. Lighter weight materials called curtains, heavier weight materials called coverings. Now we'll go into a little bit in the remaining time about the first layer, because every layer communicates to us something of God's redemption story. You know, this wonderful book here, if you boiled it down, it's God's redemption story. You go into the book of Genesis, and Adam sins. And from then on, God starts his redemption story. It's just a wonderful love story. Adam, I love you. You've sinned. I'm not going to forsake you. Satan, my adversary, has tempted you and you've succumbed. But Adam, I created you for me. And I could easily start over and cast you aside. But Adam, I love you, and I'm going to redeem you. And then he starts the story here, from page 1 to the end of Revelation. The glorious redemption story. Oh, it's a tragedy for someone to go through life and have this book within their hands, within their home, available now on the internet. You can get the Bible. Now, they said, well, you can't take a Bible into Saudi Arabia. Are they going to stop you from taking your iPad? Are they going to stop you from getting the internet? So there's the Bible any place. You can get the Bible in Mongolia. The redemption story is available throughout the world. What a tragedy it is for someone to go through life knowing God's love story is in this precious book and to spurn it away. Don't you see how God's wrath is going to exercise against those who reject this greatest of great stories? So that's part of the story, what we're talking about here, the four-ply roof. It's part of the redemption story. And we'll go into the first layer. Moses was told to make 10 linen curtains. Now Moses, he didn't do it himself. He was the commander. Nice to be a commander. But you know, it's not all that good either. Can you imagine Moses getting 603,550 half shekels? It's easier to get linen than to part with a half shekel. But Moses was told to make 10 linen curtains. We read of this in Exodus 26, 1 through 6. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. So it was a multicolored piece of linen. And those colors are important. Don't just, you know, in those days, colors meant something. Nowadays, it's just a designer that comes in and, oh, these are pleasant. But these meant something. With cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits. 10 cubits, 10 cubits, 10 cubits. How much is that? Put your math hat on. 30. Good. Improved from last week. You've been studying. Okay, now this is 28 cubits. What does this tell you? 2 cubits short. Why? Didn't want them dragging on the ground. Don't want it to get dirty. So, 10 cubits across, 9 cubits down, 9 cubits down, 1 cubit off, wherever it was, the ground. Okay? So you read these things like that. Don't just go, well, that's interesting. You know, why? And the breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits. That would be 6 feet. Now, nowadays, you buy material in about 3 feet. You go down and get a, what do you call it, skein. You double that, you get 6 feet. So here you, this was probably the width of the weave of the machine. They had probably a machine to help them make the linen. So that's practical, isn't it? 6 feet. And every one of the curtains shall have one measure, so they're all identical. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and another 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. So you're supposed to take these curtains and join them together into 2 large curtains. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. These are seamstress terms. Got any cunning workers here? Finished edge. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain, in the coupling of the second, 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain, that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another, and thou shalt make 50 tatches. So you have a loop and a loop. You're putting the loops together over tatches. What's another word which includes that word?
Attach.
Attach.
Attach is a button.
Here's a button. This is attach. See, that's attach. Or a knob. In other words, these two loops had something to go over, like a button. Or maybe something that would fit, that each loop would fit over so you couldn't take, it wouldn't easily come apart. But when they packed that and they traveled in the desert, all of that had to come apart. You see, it was all made for portability. And thou shalt make 50 tatches, which is a knob or belaying pin like a button, of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. So this whole 10 curtains were made so that they could be put together. Now, again, we see the number 10 is prominent. 10, of course, is the number of the 10 commandments, and it represents the covenant of the law. So these curtains then speak to us of our Lord Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the law, for he is our covering. You know, when God sees me, I'm a saved man. I trusted in Jesus Christ over 40 years ago, and I know that I'm saved. I know that when this heart stops and I take my last breath, I know where my spirit will be going. I know without a doubt, because God's word is true. But I'm not going there to heaven on my own. I'm going there covered by Jesus Christ. When God sees me, he'll see his son, and he'll know that I'm perfect in his son. So we see here in these coverings, the covering of Jesus Christ from the law. You know, the law is demanding, and I can't meet the requirements of the law. But you know, I know someone who can. You know someone who can, Mrs. Hobbs? Who is it? Jesus Christ. He met the conditions of the law. And I'll tell you, I grab a hold of his coattails. I grab a hold of him and say, Lord, can you take me in? Yeah, I can take you in, but I have to take you in. You can't get in by yourself. So here we see this demonstrated in the coverings, and we see it demonstrated in the linen coverings, and we'll get to that later. Of course, linen speaks of righteousness, does it not? Boy, I don't have any of that. I got some self-righteousness, you know, but self-righteousness just doesn't go very far. But I want the righteousness of Christ, and that's how I get it, through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and grabbing hold of him and letting him take me to be with the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this good lesson. What a wonderful lesson it is in the Bible. What a wonderful teaching it is, Father, of your redemption plan. Bless it now to our hearts, and bless those that go into the service. Bless our pastor. Lord, help him to be filled with thy spirit, and that we might be blessed by the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.